From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad to welcome in Dr. Terry Reese from the wonderful Order of St. John Paul II. Terry, good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's good to be here.
We were chatting a little bit off air. Your doctorate is a PhD in
nuclear chemistry.
You've lost me already. It's Colorado School of Mines. That's in Golden, isn't it?
That's in Golden. And I got my doctorate a very long time ago. It has almost nothing to do with what we're doing here, although there is one place I want to go in Africa that I haven't been to yet, specifically to see a natural nuclear reactor that ran for a couple 100,000 years.
Oh, my gosh. Say that again?
In Gabon.
Oh, Gabon. Oh, wow. Very good. Well, tell us just briefly about, first off, the Order of St. John Paul II and how it started.
Sure.
Located in Elk Grove, no less.
In Elk Grove.
Right here.
And, you know, that sounds very surprising, but there's actually a number of charitable groups that are doing work in Africa that are located in all places, Elk Grove, California.
Well, I remember Elk Grove when there were still elk there.
Really?
Really.
We'll have to talk offline about that. I'll find them around my neighborhood.
Now they just have an elk at the mall, you know.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I think there's a bank in there that if you drive by the bank, they have a big elk.
Right.
The Order of St. John Paul II was an idea that started to develop back in 2014, so about 10 years ago. And ultimately got canonical recognition in April 12th. Of 2019. And we are a strange order within the Catholic Church. We have women and men. We have lay peoples as well as clergy. Mm-hmm. We have sisters and brothers. We have, at this time, over the years we've grown quite a bit, but at this time we've got 4 archbishops, 12 bishops, and 2 cardinals that are members of the order.
Wow.
So we've,
that's rapid growth.
And it means everybody's watching me the whole time to make sure that we're not doing anything that we shouldn't be doing. The order is targeted specifically at providing technical services to very poor dioceses throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
The types of services that we provide are engineering services, water resources services, educational services, and anything that is a technical field, we provide those services, which means that those are the types of things that our members have. They have some area of expertise that they can provide. And we provide our services without charge to the diocese in which we work.
Right. And so you'll go in at the invitation of a diocese?
Correct. The mandate of our particular order is that we cannot go into and work in a diocese without having an invitation from the local bishop.
Right. Very good. Do you do work in the United States as well?
We have done work in the United States, primarily on Indian lands in the Southwest. There are 2 Indian reservations here in California where we have gone in and provided drinking water supplies, wells, when they could not convince Indian Health Services, who has the responsibility for overseeing their water supplies.
Where would those have been?
Well, one of them is up in the north, the Hoopa Valley Reservation.
Sure.
And the other one has turned itself into a nice, big, juicy casino down in San Diego County.
Okay. Yeah. The Hoopa is, that's an interesting place.
It is.
Yeah. Up in the, I guess, what is that? Is that Del Norte or? What county? Delaware County. Yeah. It's way up. That's actually the, I believe, the Diocese of Santa Rosa.
I believe so.
Yeah. But although we touch it. We touch everything.
Now, we did provide some support services, but not to the diocese immediately following the Paradise fire.
Oh, right.
Specifically related to water supply issues that they had.
Right. Boy, I'll bet they had some serious water supply issues.
They had no water.
Yeah.
All of their flumes burned out.
Yeah, and then they had to just truck it in, those that were remaining. Well, that's wonderful work. So today we're going to talk specifically about Africa and Sierra Leone. How did you get in? It's really interesting to me when I saw Sierra Leone when I had just graduated from college. I was applying to the Peace Corps. I was from UC Davis, and they had a big active Peace Corps group there on campus, and also to VISTA, which was Volunteers in Service to America, at the same time. And I got accepted to the Peace Corps. I got accepted to VISTA, and the Peace Corps, the project was Sierra Leone, and VISTA, the project was inner city Atlanta. And went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and talked to my family, and finally, it was right during the height of the early civil rights movement and stuff, I finally chose Atlanta, but always since then have wondered about Sierra Leone, and here today, you're going to tell me about Sierra Leone.
Yes. The story of how we became involved in Sierra Leone spreads out over about a four-year period. And a lot of it has to do with what people would consider, you know, hearing the story. Well, that's a lot of coincidences. Once you add up like three or four coincidences and you're sitting there and you're thinking and somebody keeps telling you, you need to be working in Sierra Leone. I believe it was God talking to me. If not God, one of his angels came down and said multiple times, you should be working in Sierra Leone.
Well, with God, there are no coincidences.
Well, I had several questions. I had no idea where Sierra Leone was. Right. Why are you telling me to go?
This West Africa?
It is in West Africa. It's located kind of nestled between Guinea and Liberia. Mm-hmm. Most Americans, at least of my age, know that Liberia is where many of our freed slaves from the Civil War were resettled.
Right.
Sierra Leone had a similar history, except it was primarily settled by individuals who had served in the British services, mm-hmm. fighting against the Americans during the Revolutionary War.
Right. Wow.
So It's also interesting that these people that have resettled into Sierra Leone in the last 150 years are very similar to the populations of the freed African slaves from our South. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the things I found very interesting was I've done a lot of work down in Louisiana, and many people speak Creole, C-R-E-O-L-E, uh-huh. Sure. In that area. And a large part of the population in Sierra Leone speak Creole, K-R-I-O.
Oh, wow.
And I could understand.
And they're similar languages.
They're almost identical.
Wow.
They're almost identical.
Amazing.
So, you know, 7,000 miles apart, and the sentence structures and the nouns and the verbs are identical.
Interesting. So what's the Catholic presence in Sierra Leone?
Sierra Leone kind of has a unique spiritual composition. About roughly 80% is Muslim, mm-hmm. and about 20% is Christian, with the vast majority of them being Catholics. There's a good presence of Methodists there as well, but the vast majority of them are Catholic.
Are these mixed throughout the country, or are there sort of segments that this is the Catholic area or this is the Muslim area?
No, it's a nice blending, mm-hmm. over there. where you have the mixed population mm-hmm. throughout the country. And in fact, that was another one of the unique features of the order when we formed it. We wanted to be inclusive of the populations that we were going to be serving.
Right.
So while we are a Catholic order, and full membership in the order requires you to be a practicing Catholic, mm-hmm. we also allow in auxiliary members that are either from some of the Protestant denominations or even Muslim. So mm-hmm. we have some of the people that are working on the ground doing the work that we're doing there that are Muslims that are doing the work. Wow. So
very good. Well, you know, bloom where you're planted, and if somebody there can help the mission, why not? Use their services?
And it's different than other parts of Africa. Nigeria immediately comes to mind, where there's constant fighting between the mm-hmm. Muslims right. and the Christians and the Catholics.
Right. So how did you get involved in Sierra Leone specifically? Tell us about a couple of these coincidences.
It all started way back in 2014. And I had just been elected the Grand Knight of the Laguna Council down in Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove.
Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus. Yeah. And I have a very nice garden in my yard. That's where I do a lot of my praying, is out in that garden. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do now that I'm in here? And a voice came to me while I was sitting there. And the voice said, "You should be working in Africa."
Hmm.
Just clear as a bell.
Were they speaking Creole or English?
American English. Shortly after that, we were having a membership drive in the narthex of the parish there, which is a huge narthex.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful church.
It's bigger than the narthex, is bigger than the church that I attended in Fernley, Nevada. And one gentleman came up to me and said that he wanted to become a knight, that he had always wanted to be a knight, could he become a knight? And we began talking, and he had a very lovely accent that was not American English. Mm-hmm. And we got to talking about his homeland, which was Sierra Leone.
Wow.
My brothers and my living brother and my sister, we like to go on vacation trips together. And we decided, I'm not quite sure, I think we're going to Chimayo in mm-hmm. New Mexico.
New Mexico, yeah.
And we were going to meet. And Chris was going to meet us there. He was coming down from Denver, and Maureen and I were coming up from Carson City at that time, and we met in Flagstaff.
Beautiful town.
And, you know, it's for those people who are not familiar with Flagstaff, it's about
close to 7,000 feet.
About 7,000 feet. It's on a nice volcano, and it's about, we'll say 40 miles plus or minus to the Grand Canyon.
Right.
Okay. And while we were eating breakfast one morning, my sister and myself, a cross-continental bus came driving into the parking lot. And about 60 people came out of the bus, and some of them went to the McDonald's, some went to the Burger King. One man got off the bus and came into the same restaurant where we were. One person off of that bus. And he was hungry. He had something very specific that he wanted. And it was very African. He wanted fried chicken. He wanted fried chicken. That he'd come all the way from Los Angeles. It had been 12 hours on this bus. First chance to get out and stretch his legs. And he wanted some fried chicken. Could he possibly get fried chicken? And I recognized the accent. So I asked him, was he from Sierra Leone? And he got this strange expression on his face like, you gringos have no idea where Sierra Leone is. How can you possibly know what our accent sounds like? And he made a statement, something to that effect. I don't think he used the term gringo. And it turns out he was, in fact, from Sierra Leone. So there we were, two of us from two different continents, both of us far from our homes, meeting in Flagstaff, Arizona, pretty much out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I heard the voice again. You should be working in Sierra Leone. The next incident was a much less, it was almost a tragic meeting. My sister, shortly after that vacation, had a stroke. And she was being treated at Kaiser South down here in South Sacramento. And the nurse who was attending to her in the emergency room had this lovely accent that I was now beginning to be able to recognize. And turns out she was from Sierra Leone. So all of these coincidences and always the same voice saying you should be working in Africa, we ended up working in Africa. We ended up working in Sierra Leone.
So to form an order and get canonical approval and then to pick a country, you already had the country picked for you. How did you approach the bishops in Sierra Leone? How many dioceses are there in Sierra Leone?
There are four dioceses in Sierra Leone. There is another diocese that's located in the Gambia, which is kind of on the other side of Guinea from Sierra Leone, but they're part of the same conference of bishops. We worked with some gentlemen in Sierra Leone that were interested in having us come to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they made arrangements for us to meet with Archbishop Edward Tama Charles, who is the Archbishop of the Freetown Diocese. And we also worked with Bishop Charles Campbell, who is the bishop in the Bow Diocese. So we had the very largest archdiocese in the country and the largest metropolitan area outside of Freetown, both asking us to come.
Right.
So how do you go about starting up an order? That's another interesting topic. The first thing we needed to do is we needed to establish ourselves as a legitimate entity in the United States. So that involves things like getting incorporated and getting recognized by IRS and a variety of other things that we had to do.
The old 501c3?
501c3. But we had some unique things. We were pretty sure we got started approximately 5 years after the death of St. John Paul II. We were planning our first trip to Sierra Leone to correspond with the five-year anniversary of his canonization. I think that's right. I may have to go back and check my figures on that. I think it was 5 years. How do you get permission to use a name like John Paul II?
Sure.
And that required us to petition the church for permission to use his name. We were somewhat surprised when they came back and said yes.
Oh.
So we established it as the Order of St. John Paul II. That then had some canonical things that we had to take care of. We had to make sure that all of our documentations and the way that we were going to be doing things corresponded with the appropriate canon laws. And there was a nice canon lawyer here upstairs, if I remember correctly, that helped guide us in what documentations we needed to get taken care of. And ultimately we did.
Wow.
And at that point, once we had all of the paperwork in place, then it was a matter of some bishop had to stick their neck out and say, yeah, this is something that I'm going to endorse. And that ended up being Bishop Soto.
Oh, wow. That doesn't surprise me.
And he issued his decree on April 12th of 2019, officially recognizing the order.
So we're just short of the fifth anniversary.
We're coming up to our fifth anniversary next Friday, I think.
You have to have a party.
Yeah. We're planning on doing that. And in fact, I was going to invite everybody to come to the party. We're actually going to have the party on April 27th.
Okay.
Which is the anniversary of his canonization.
All right. That's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
So Bishop Soto, if anybody takes exception to what we're doing, it's his fault.
No, I don't think anybody could complain about what you're doing. I note some of the materials you sent me. You had a quote from St. John Paul II saying, wherever people are suffering, make it your task to serve them. Sounds almost like the words of Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself.
And if you go onto our website, which I would encourage people to do, it's an easy one to remember, www.sjpst.org.
Very good.
And we have on there that's our guiding principle. Matthew said it all.
It sure did.
And that's what we are trying to do.
In terms of membership in your organization, is that open to people? Is that how does one become a member if they want to?
If they wish to become a member, we have a couple of requirements. Of course, they need to be 18 years of age or older. They need to be in good standing with the Catholic Church to be a full voting member.
Right.
But if they are some of these auxiliary members, which we have a few of, then they need to agree that they are going to abide by Catholic principles, the Catholic principles that guide what the order does. They don't have to convert.
Right.
Don't require them to convert. But they also don't have any voting rights in the order. But they can certainly help us with the work that we're trying to do.
I would think that, especially with a new group, you could use a lot of hands.
Many hands make light work.
Yeah, indeed.
So, and the process that they go by, we do have an application form on our website. So if they fill that out, that provides us with useful information like their email address.
Right.
So that we can communicate with them.
Now, you have a couple of humanitarian projects specifically that you wanted to touch on today in Sierra Leone.
Right. We have four main programs that we focus our efforts into. The first program that we focus on is schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we attack that, if you will, several different ways. One is if there are schools that are run down, that have deferred maintenance over time, and need to have those issues taken care of, we help do those things. We provide the funds that are needed, and we provide the sweat labor, if you will, mm-hmm. from our members in the local councils on the ground that come in and take care of those types of issues. We also build schools, and there you can take a look at one of the websites on the Comende Liama School that was a mud brick school that was disintegrating.
Mm-hmm.
They get like 120 inches of rain, and mud doesn't hold up
very well
on 120 inches of rain. So we went in and we built a concrete school to replace the one that they had there, and that's now being used by students on a routine basis.
What age group are we talking about?
All of the schools that we work with are elementary school age. So over there, that's defined as up through what they call grade 6. So over here, we consider Catholic schools going up through grade 8. Over there, it's through grade 6.
And these are primarily Catholic schools or not?
Historically, the education system in Sierra Leone have been Catholic schools.
Yeah. That's very common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you run into professional people from Sierra Leone, they got their primary and usually their secondary education from
Catholic schools.
And in fact, the two major universities that are in Sierra Leone are Catholic universities. So they represent 20-25% of the population, but they represent 100% of the education in the country, essentially. We also are working with some of the schools, particularly in the Bow Diocese, where the students don't have enough money to buy uniforms or books or desks to sit at or chalkboards. And once again, if you go take a look at some of our videos that are on the YouTube channel that you get to by going to the bottom of the page and clicking on the YouTube, they are attending school in very primitive situations. So we are helping out with building those. Okay. We also provide scholarships to people who are teaching in the Catholic schools to go get a college education or learn some professional skills that will help them to do that. So we've got the Terry Stanton Memorial Scholarship Fund that provides the funding for those scholarships. And to date, we've had 9 people who have gone through and gotten their educations using the scholarships that we've provided. How old are we? 5 years?
5 years, that's pretty good.
And we've got 9 people that have gone through the program.
Wow.
That's
pretty impressive.
We need more money. We could do more, but that's not bad.
And obviously, you've got fundraising is got to be. You hear this from so many groups. How do you go about fundraising?
Fundraising is a challenge, and we do 100% of the work that we do is funded by donations, with the exception of labor. And labor is provided by the local individuals in the councils, provide the bodies. We have a professional staff that does the designing and structural engineering for the buildings. But it's the people under the supervision of one of these architects that actually build the structures. How do we go about fundraising? It was pretty easy the first year or two. It was pretty easy to raise funds. We've found a couple of individuals that have more careful, Terry, you almost said something that was going to get you in trouble, that have a sufficient resources available to help fund some of the larger projects.
Right.
So like the Comende Liama School that was built, that was 100% funded by a single individual
who
was a member of our order.
Wow.
100% funded. COVID hit. And fundraising has become much more of a challenge.
And when COVID hit, you're, 2 years old or a year old? A year old.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's been a little more challenging. And I'm good at doing some things. I'm not good at raising funds. So that's what we're trying to do with this interview today is help us to get contacts with people that hear what we're doing. And maybe God will move their heart to help us out.
Very good. You also were another project, in addition to Our Lady of Mount Carmel School, a retirement home, if you will?
Right. Over there, I believe, my numbers may be slightly off, but about 120 total priests in the country, serving a population of about maybe 2 or 3 million Catholics.
And most of them are from Sierra Leone?
Most of them are from Sierra Leone. There are a variety of orders that also send people there. The Spiritans are very big in sending the people in to help out. We've got a list of all of the, somewhere around here. What did I do with my list? There it is. Stop laughing. Okay, so we have Zavarians, the Spiritans, Christian Brothers, there's Josephite priests, The Society of African Missions, which are a European order that works primarily in Africa. The orders of sisters, a congregation of sisters that are that we work with over there include the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart, the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of the Rosary, the Handmaids of the Holy Child Jesus, the Clarison Sisters, and the Sisters of St. Joseph Cluny. So those are the main orders, but the vast majority of the priests are native-born priests that have gone on to be ordained. And that's something that really is kind of amazing, or was amazing to me. The Catholic Church is growing very strongly in Africa, very strongly. You know, in Europe, not so much. About to say something else that'll get me into trouble. A lot of pressure in the European church towards schism at the present time. Not so much in Africa. I'll use a recent example this past Easter. A brand new bishop just ordained this past October. Going in and taking control of his diocese, they had 700 people that were baptized into the church this past Easter.
Wow.
700 people. A lot of missionary fervor in Africa. You know, we kind of think of ourselves as being, but we're not. We're actually a mission in diocese here in Sacramento.
Sure.
And some of the priests that serve in this diocese are coming from Africa and Sierra Leone.
Right. Do they have seminary in Sierra Leone?
They do. They do.
Wow. So a retirement home.
Okay, back to the retirement home. Thank you. Now, you've got these priests that are serving over there. The ones that are members of specific orders, their orders normally will take care of them when they achieve retirement age or if they have medical costs that come up. The diocesan priests generally do not have a retirement program in place. And when they get to retirement age or are no longer able to fulfill their ministries because of illness or an accident or whatever, they're pretty much reliant on going back to their families. There is no plan in place to provide retirement services to those priests. Kind of had that here in the U.S., but not to the extent that they do. So one of the things that the Conference of Bishops has asked us to do is to undertake building retirement compounds where these older priests, these priests who are sick, these priests that are injured, can go into these compounds. Normally, the guy is over behind me. I just got the motion to get closer to the mic. So, they have asked us to provide some housing and specific things that their retired priests need to have, like readily available clinic space, having some sort of a chapel that they can go into. Well, remember, these guys have been praying in churches for a very long time, and some of them would like to continue saying Mass every day
if
they have the opportunity.
Sure.
But if they move into some distant village, that they may not have those available to them. And also that will provide them with reasonable cooking.
So this isn't a renovation. This is brand new.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new. And that's one of the biggest projects that we're trying to raise funds for right now. The people in Sierra Leone are fairly confident that they can raise most of the money that's going to be needed to do this. Where do you get money from when there is no money to be had? So we're letting them kind of take the lead locally in taking care of this, going to their various churches within their diocese and trying to raise as much money as they can. And we plan to step in from this side of the pond with providing whatever funds they need to be able to finish it off. We don't want to start a project of building a couple of compounds and then not have the money to be able to finish it up.
Right.
So that's the big thing that we're trying to do. So two main projects for this year.
We need to get you back on. We're up against the clock, but give the website again if people want to learn more, if they want to donate, if they want to be a part of it.
Sure. The website, again, is SJP, like St. John Paul, the number 2.org. There are lots of links on there, give you lots of information about what we're doing. And there's a very important link on there to donate.
Very good.
And there's two ways of doing it. You can either donate online. It's a secured website, so you should be able to go ahead and make your donations online. Or alternatively, you can send a check to the order, made out to the order of St. John Paul II. Can I go ahead and give the whole address?
Sure.
Okay, the whole address is P.O. Box 580-925, Elk Grove, California, 95758.
Very good.
And we'll take money in any denomination.
Very good. Very good. Terry, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for all the great work you're doing, and God's blessings. And we hope our paths cross again really soon.
Very good. Well, I live just down the street, so you know, anytime that you have time to fill, just give me a call. As you can probably tell, I can talk.
Very good. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous, but a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often, we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in Greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the Annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the Superior Courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With costs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
Stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord.
I sing. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he.